Okay, it's good to be here with all y'all today. It looks like it's really getting serious about becoming the hot part of the year. And we've already dodged a lot of hot weather, so we ought not be complaining. So wouldn't do any good if we did. Okay, so let's prepare ourselves in our usual fashion by having a few moments of silent prayer. And during that time, we have the opportunity to name privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this church, the people, and your word. We thank you that you have designed your word, that we can understand the whole realm of doctrine, and that we can use our volition to grow in grace and knowledge. And we pray that you will help us to do that this evening. While we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the first thing I'm going to do is put where we went last time up for just a moment. This was on PowerPoint, but it's not on PowerPoint now. What we did was take this lesson 36, and we inserted it at the end of where we were. Right there, unconditional love is the hallmark of a believer, and so forth. We inserted it there, and we're going to go. I'm not going to teach this again now, but I might just look through it. When we get to the end, we'll have lesson 37, which will be for tonight, and I'm going to pick up verse 12, which I think this one is up here. Let's see. No, it's verse 11, and when we get through with what I have inserted in it here, we'll start with number 12. That's the way I have it in there, so people won't get mixed up when they see that. Of course, might do that anyway. Okay, so I was trying to just go through my mind and do something with some of the things that we were using, the terms that we were using, walking in the light, walking with the Lord, being in fellowship, and all those terms I wanted to kind of put together, because before I started this, I came up with this top part that is what it's about. And the top says, God offers bonuses to believers who are interested. And a lot of people, even a lot of Christians, would look at that and think, I've never seen that again, of God offering bonuses to believers, and all we have to do is be interested. And that's where we started right here. And when we started in 1 John chapter 1, do you remember what we were talking about? It's in this first point here. It's being obedient to the commandments of God is imperative to spiritual advancement. But we started out with believers being obedient to the commands of God, and this is one that is shown over and over again, and it's John 14:15. If you love me, and that's, I'm pretty sure, is a present active indicative. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And that, doesn't that make sense? Think of who Christ is, Jesus Christ, and what he has done for us. And is it such a big deal for us to obey his commandments? I mean, that's the least we could do. The very least. So anyway, that's the way we started. Such believers reside in the divine domain. Those are ones that are interested in getting more benefits from God. So, such believers reside in the divine domain, and are hungry for Bible doctrine. Now, remember, the divine domain is where everything that is righteous and right and is part of growing and in grace and so forth, that is God's sphere of power. That's where the power is. And so when you are doing the things that are commanded, then you're in the divine domain, and you want to stay there because that's where you get to have a chance to be walking with Christ and so many other things. I'm not going to go through every one of these. I'm just kind of scanning them here. But one thing about keeping His commandments is that we really get to know Him that is Jesus Christ. It's just like your father, if you had a father around, and he gave commandments, which that's what good fathers do, is command the ship. And you really get to know people when you see them in that state. Believers who disobey usually are not interested in advancing spiritually, which is a huge swath of people who just don't have enough time to do these things. They live most of their life in carnality. That's Satan's cosmic system. So by now, you ought to, in your mind, when you hear divine dynasphere, that is God's sphere of power and everything wonderful is there. But the other side of the coin is Satan's cosmic system. That's where you have carnality and you become a slave of Satan. And you don't have any goals, and you just aren't in a bad place. Hello, Tim. Their life is what people who live in the cosmic system, their life is full of fear, anger, hate, arrogance, guilt, hopelessness, and emptiness, and even more than that. And here's the thing. The people that are in Satan's cosmic system is there because they chose to be. Of course, they didn't know what it was going to be like, but they want to be there because they want to do what they want to do, and they don't want God or anybody else telling them what to do. And so they're still going to have to do what Satan is going to force them to do. The love of God has truly been adopted by whoever perseveres in His Word. And so we are adopted, you know, by God. And I'm putting it in this context that was, I think, better than what we had in the book. And by whoever perseveres in His Word. Persevering in His Word is absolutely imperative. The ones who knows He has God's love, the ones who knows He has God's love, tries in every way to please the Lord. So if you are a part of the Lord, you know it, you know what the Lord is like, and you try to do everything in your power to please Him. I mean, that is should be automatic. And by knowing God and His love, we know that we are in Him and we abide in Him. And this is a good verse here too, 1 John 3, verse 24. And the one who keeps His commandments abides in Him, resides in Him, dwells in Him, and has is with Him too. So, and the one who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He, Christ, in us, the Him would be us. And we know by this that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. The Holy Spirit has so many ministries, very busy. It seems that abiding in Him is different from the indwelling of the Godhead, because abiding in Him is being being in with Him or in Him. And we also have all members of the Godhead that are indwells us. But the difference between the two is that if you're going to abide in Him, it is a commandment where, of course, the indwelling of the Trinity is not. I'll probably end here because I'm eating up time for what we're going to do tonight, so I better either speed up or stop or something. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, "The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk the same manner as Jesus Christ walked." We are God's people who are also the ones that represent Him. And so we need to walk. See it says, who says that he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner. We have to, and walking in the same manner for us means we are living in the same manner that Jesus Christ is. So Jesus always walked in a way of thinking about others, not himself. I think I'll go to these few verses and then I'll just cut away to where we're going to start tonight. These are some verses to show that Christ always walked in a way of thinking about others and not himself. Psalm 89:15. "How blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. O Lord, they walk in the light of thy countenance." And like I said last time, I go back all the way to Adam and Eve. They were walking in the Lord, enjoying his countenance. And they did that for a long time until they fell. And everything changed then. Isaiah 2:5. "Come, house of Jacob, and let us walk in the light of the Lord." That's two Old Testament verses in a row. 1 John 1:7. "But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." And there's another verse, I thought I had it next, but anyway, there's another verse that says essentially the same thing, but it says we have fellowship with God and His Son. So that is something else. Let's just cut away now. And okay, this is where we're going to start tonight. So this is where I reference this number 12. This is lesson 37. Number 12, right here underneath this, is continued from number 11, located just above lesson 36, where we just came from. So I hope that will not get someone mixed up and wondering where they are and everything. But so here we go. This is tonight's lesson. And it starts with verse 12. It is the basis for solving problems in human relationships. And we're talking about unconditional love, sometimes called impersonal love. So that is the basis for solving problems in human relationships. Do we really have all that many problems in human relationships? I think so. And you probably think so as well. It's not easy to get along with people. And in thousands of different ways it can come about. But when we're talking about unconditional love, it is the basis for solving problems in human relationships. Human relationships will never be what they ought to be because we always are involved with somebody else who is arrogant, self-absorbed, sinner, just like we are. I think that was very well worded. Because we're all, of course, self-absorbed, arrogant, and sinners, and so forth. But if we really want to make way with our relationships to get on another level, then we're going to have someone have unconditional love towards the other. Number 13. "The only way to get past the natural inclination and drive of the sin nature to be arrogant and self-absorbed is to have a standard outside of us that calls us to a higher standard that gives us the ability to overcome the sin nature which is relying on the power of the Holy Spirit." I don't like to make sentences that long, but when I cut them off, I was trying to get it all on one side, on one thing. But when I do that, I always have to go over and do it again, because you can't just absorb this many words and how they're placed and what they mean and still understand everything. So that was just an invitation to read it again. The only way to get past the natural inclination and drive of the sin nature. We all agree, we all have a sin nature. And even though it no longer is in charge, we still can decide to go on the side of the natural inclination for us to sin. And so the drive of the sin nature to be arrogant and self-absorbed, is the only way to control that is to have a standard outside of us. Where is the old sin nature? It's in us, right? Yeah, it's in us. But if we're going to conquer it, if we're going to not just be caught by it, then we need a standard that is outside of us and that calls us to a higher standard. And that gives us the ability, this higher standard gives us the ability to overcome the sin nature, which is relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't sound right to me. The ability to overcome, there it is, that gives us the ability to overcome the sin nature. There should be a comma there after nature. And it's the ability to overcome the sin nature. It's relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does so many things. And He does, God will command us to do something, and we can't do it. In a hundred ways, we can't do it. But what we can do is rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we are in fellowship, then the Holy Spirit gives us that power. He guides us. He does so many things. And that is the standard that is not in us, but out of us. But we can use it because the power of the Holy Spirit is always there when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Do y'all want to hear that again, or are y'all ready to move on? Any questions there? Okay. Number 14. Unconditional love is the ability to accept all people as they are, despite all their problems, all their difficulties, all their blemishes. And that's a pretty big chore Holy Spirit to give us the ability to accept those kind of people despite all their problems. So it is not merely the absence of mental attitude sins and the absence of prejudice. In other words, when we are going to have unconditional love against these people, and the people have problems, they have difficulties, all kind of blemishes, all kind of things that they are. So unconditional love is able to take care of that. But it's not merely mental attitude sins. In other words, a lot of times you would look at these people and they are just having all kinds of things that are hard to take. And so it's not just merely you having a correct mental attitude attitude towards sins and the absence of prejudice, not prejudicing, but having prejudice against these people. That is judging people, and we are strictly prohibited to judge other people in several places. And there is a hard punishment if you ignore that. So unconditional love is the ability, the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to accept all people as they are, and then we see all the problems they have. But at the end of it, it's not merely you having the absence of mental attitude sins towards them, and the absence of prejudice, those are good things. I'm not saying they aren't. But it is the presence of a genuine concern, compassion, kindness, gentleness, a regard for even those who may be treating us the worst. Now, I'm trying to put this together. And what I'm saying is we do have the ability to accept these people. And probably, if you're in fellowship, then you're going to have the correct mental attitude. You're not going to judge these people. And you're not going to have prejudice against them. And that's the natural thing to do. So we can, because we are using unconditional love, we can be in the same mental place and the same being away from prejudice. Prejudice, what is it called when you have prejudice against somebody? You are judging them. Then it says, but it is the presence of a genuine concern. In other words, it's not just that you're doing this just to help them out or whatever, but it's a genuine concern for those kind of people. And it is a genuine compassion. You really have compassion for them. You want to help them. And you have a gentleness for them and a regard for even those who may be treating us the worst. Now, let me ask you something. All this is fine. I mean, this is very high standard here. But we have to, I think, be honest and look at this last sentence. You have a regard for even those who may be treating us the worst. So there's people out there and they're treating you this way, that way, in all kinds of ways. But we can rise to the standard to where even though they are this hodgepodge of people that are the low life, you might say, but we have within us the ability to have true concern for these people and have compassion for them and kindness and gentleness. When I'm reading through this, my mind goes to California and other big states that have people out on the street. They live on the street. They live in tents and all these things. These are the kind of people that most people would just, they would just say, oh, look at them. They're so horrible. But we can have a genuine concern and compassion and kindness for these kind of people. And even if they treat us badly, we can still do that. And the only way we can do that is, first of all, be in fellowship in the divine dynasphere, and we have the Holy Spirit with that power. He can empower us to do these things. Okay, I'm just going to move on. If y'all want to linger somewhere, let me know, but I'm going to move on here. That right there says a lot. Now, we can't do that on our own. None of us. We could try for 100 years to try to get it without the Holy Spirit's help, and we can't do it anyway. All right, this is number 15. Unconditional love will have no strength or stability without grace orientation. Now, that's where we started, remember? Hold on a minute. And that edification complex of the soul, the first step is grace orientation. And so here, we're seeing it here in 1 John. So the unconditional love will have no strength or stability without grace orientation. That means to be relying on grace. And if it's not grace orientation, then it's you doing your own thing. You trying to make things happen. And that is a train wreck when you leave God out of it. So that's what that's talking about. So unconditional love will have no strength or stability without grace orientation, relying on God's grace. I was talking to Carrie today about, she may have mentioned it to me, how important grace is. Our contact with God is grace. That's how important it is. And we can do nothing on our own. So we have the stability. We can't have the stability without grace orientation, relying on God's grace, and by trusting the Holy Spirit through faith rest. Hadn't heard that word, that phrase there in a while. But the Holy Spirit, through His power, will enable us to use faith rest, which means that you are going to have faith when you put your issues and problems and things of that sort with Christ, that He's going to take care of them, and then you can rest. So first of all, you have faith, and when you have the faith, and you're giving it to God, and that's what He wants us to do with our problems, issues, whatever it is. He wants to take them for us, because then He can show us His power and His the way that He takes things and turns them around and so forth. Anyway, I'm gonna give this one more shot, and then we'll move on with the next sentence here. Unconditional love will have no strength or stability without grace orientation, relying on God's grace, and by trusting in the Holy Spirit's power through faith rest, that power is going to work. Then it says something changed in course a bit. A baby believer is going to vacillate a lot when he is struggling to learn these things and apply them. Well, some of you might. I have to struggle with them sometimes. I have to struggle to put it on here and make it relevant and understandable. So, a baby believer is going to vacillate, and he's going to be struggling to learn these things and apply them. Look at what's the first word on the next sentence. But, yeah, that's a good but there. But it is through consistent intake of Bible doctrine, unconditional love, and spiritual maturity that we develop the capacity for life, love, and happiness in every situation of life. Isn't that great? We can develop the capacity. We don't have capacity. I mean, we're not born with capacity. And when we're talking about spiritual things, especially the ones that we're looking at here, it's through the intake of Bible doctrine that gets the thing started, and being able to have unconditional love for those who are not loveless or lovely, and spiritual maturity that will develop the capacity for life. If you're going to be in the divine, in the satanic place, then you're not going to have any capacity for anyone except for yourself. But if you are in the divine dynasphere, these things are going to come to pass. But they're going to have to be developed. How are they developed? By Bible doctrine. That's how they're developed and become part of who you are. It becomes how you think and what you think. All this is what happens. And it takes some time. So we have to give leeway to a baby believer that was just had just been saved, and get them on the right course. So, we develop the capacity for life, love, and happiness in every situation of life. But it started with being saved and then taking in Bible doctrine. That's the way it goes. Excuse me. This is John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Easy, right? I mean, it's easy to read. But it's hard to obey that, not only because it's a commandment, but that you love one another. And then that last part, just as I have loved you. We can't do that apart from the Holy Spirit. But if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, then He gives us the power to obey that commandment, and with these other ones, to have treat them and love them just as our Lord loves us. Some of these little short these sharp things, you just think, well, it can't be too much to them. That one has a lot. We can love one another by employing unconditional love. Unconditional love is sometimes very busy. It can be between husband and wife, mother and daughter, father and son, people in our family that we know and so forth. There's always going to be a time for us to love one another by employing unconditional love. It's a sacrificial love. We have to sacrifice things that we would like to do or say, but we don't do it because we. This little last part of this verse, just as I have loved you, this is Christ talking about, we have to obey the command that you love other people just as Christ has loved us. And that's a big thing that we have to do, but we always have, if we're in the divine dynasphere and we have the Holy Spirit going on, then it's not only possible, it is the only way. God commands us to love one another no matter how crude, obnoxious, overbearing, arrogant, selfish, bitter, hateful, etc., etc., etc. I mean, we could fill pages and pages of how the people are that God commands us to love. And this is something that can change you and me. It's something that can change our thinking towards people who might not like us, who might just try to harm us or try to put us down, all those things, and yet we are still commanded by God, you love that one. You love him just as I have loved you. And you're I see myself standing there, what? I mean, I'm thinking, wow. But if I'm in the divine dynasphere, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, all I have to do is say, Father, I need the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't do this myself. And that prayer will be answered every single time that you use it. Because you see, it's not us who gets the glory. It's God who gets the glory. And every time he tells us to do something that we think is just outrageous, or there's no way we can do it, but then we have him go through the Holy Spirit, and then we can do anything. I mean, it's just like charging a battery full to the top, and now you're ready to do these things. Excuse me. So unconditional love means that we do not love others based on their ability to love us. Now we're getting down to the grassroots here. You want to know what unconditional love is? Here it is in this one little statement here. Unconditional love means that we do not love others based on their ability to love us. Because so many times we're going to have a relationship and excuse me, and they're not going to be able to, I mean, we're not going to be able to, they won't be able to love us. And that is what unconditional love takes care of. I'll say it one more time. Unconditional love means that we do not love others based on their ability to love us, because that's what's normal. However, when they don't have an ability to love us, what are we going to do? Are we going to correct them? Are we going to have something unpleasant? No. Unconditional love means we love those who don't even have the ability or the desire to love us. Us. We love them because God commands us to love them in the same way that he loves us. That's our motivation to do it. And we can't even along the way say, well, they're stupid if they don't have the ability to love me. They're really going to miss out. That's the wrong attitude. The wrong reason we're doing it, doesn't matter who they are or how they do it, we give them unconditional love. We love them in spite of anything they say or do, because God has commanded us to love them in the same way He loves us. And then, see that little mark at the end? He commands us to love them in the same way He loves us, dash, which is unconditionally. God requires us to love anyone unconditionally, just as He unconditionally loves us. Now you see how important the Holy Spirit is in this. As we grow in grace and knowledge, we develop the capacity to love others unconditionally. But you can't, here again, I was saying this a while ago, that you have to develop the capacity to love others unconditionally. So, but we can do it because as we grow in grace and knowledge, which means we're taking in the Word of God and we're growing, we're headed for spiritual maturity if we're not already there. And so that we keep growing, and that develops the capacity to love others unconditionally, regardless whether they are in a good mood or if they are out of control. You see the power that you have, that God, the Holy Spirit, can give you? And it's not emotions, it's not anger, it's not any of these things. It's that you are able to love these people unconditionally. And if they're in a bad mood, or if they're in a good mood, or if they're not even under control, none of that matters, because the power of God is beyond all of that. Now, this is another thing I brought up here. Characteristics of impersonal love / unconditional love. Now, I'm not going to get to the probably the personal love tonight, but we're going to at least see some of the ways that they interact and so forth. So we have two kinds of love that we're going to address. The first one that we've barely touched is personal love. And personal love is directed towards God and God only. That's personal love. And then the other one is impersonal love, which does not go to God. That goes to all the people that we've been talking about and all of the ways that we are able to please God by switching here to unconditional love. So are y'all ready for this? It's not too long. I won't even probably get through it. Y'all ready? Okay. Point number one. Impersonal love. Now listen to this. Impersonal love changes into unconditional love when it endures desperate, unfavorable circumstances. So when everything is going along fine, it's pretty well personal love. But when something like this happens, the impersonal love has to change into unconditional love so that we are able to endure despite unfavorable circumstances. And there is nearly always unfavorable circumstances. You know, if you ever hit a spot to where there's no unfavorable circumstances, you better sit down and really enjoy that, because there's not too many of them around, because we're in the devil's world and he's stirring the pot right now. Okay, y'all got that? And I have some sub-points here. A. Impersonal love employs God's command not to judge others, but to love one another. And I can't emphasize enough that if you break that command and you start judging other people, God will take what they should have to punish them because of what they're doing, and He will put it on you why is he going to do that? Because you judge them, and you're going to have a double belly full of that. So, doesn't matter who they are, this is point B, doesn't matter who they are, what they are like, whether you know them or not, whether they are mean or nice, male or female, believers or unbelievers, rich or poor, we are not to judge them, but to love them. That is part of the... let me move this. It's part of the unconditional love. Now, let's look at this for just a moment. We don't get to pick and choose who we are going to love unconditionally. Because look at all these things that you have here. And with each one of these places or people, you have a different circumstance. So you have to be flexible. You have to address either any of these things. Or I could go on and make more and more, but you get the point. You don't know who you're going to have unconditional love for, but you have to be ready no matter what. Point C. Unconditional love is employed when unfavorable circumstances develop where we keep our composure by loving them even when they are angry or unreasonable to us. Is this starting to gel? It's the normal thing, we're not even talking about any unconditional love or anything like that, but when you, let's say, a family member doesn't like something. They don't like the way you cut your hair or whatever it may be, and they make a statement. And this is even worse when other people are around and see what's going on. And so he's really kind of attacking you because he doesn't like you or like what you've done or something like that. And so that for us means that we are not going to go toe-to-toe like it normally would. And a lot of times, you see it on the news all the time. Somebody will be crossing somebody else and there'll be an argument develop and then that gets higher, it gets louder, and somebody will pull a gun or a knife or something. The next thing you know, somebody's dead. Happens all the time. That doesn't happen when you have a believer that has unconditional love, because he's not going to try to change that person. He's not. He might try to help him with something that he's dealing with, but the Lord is going to take it when it gets to that degree. And I mean, we don't try to do anything other than we can tell them, we can say, well, I love you anyway, and they're over there cursing you or whatever it may be, and we can, you know, you can say, well, I love you because I have unconditional love for anyone who doesn't know Christ. Or, you know, there's a lot of ways to say it. So this is, the circumstances are very important too, because you never know when this is going to happen. And that's why you have to have in your mind when something like this develops that you're not going to argue. You're not even going to participate in an argument. You're just saying, well, I love you anyway, and see where it goes from there. Point D. Of course, it should be evident that we don't have the power or the ability to love someone who hates us. That's hats. Let me see if I can move this a little bit. Yeah, that's better. We have people. I've never seen anybody who... hatted me. I'll just start over. Of course, it should be evident that we don't have the power or the ability to love someone who hates us, and all they want to do is to argue with us and be a jerk. You know, you've been in these circumstances many times, I'm sure, just like all of us have. So what do you do? Are you going to give him tit for tat? Or are you just going to... And this is especially hard for men, because if it's another man that this is getting is involved with, you want to show, well, I'm a man, I'm just as good as he is, and all these things that come in. That's why the Bible doctrine comes in and continues to say, we are in the divine dynasphere, and we have to get out of there and go to Satan's cosmic system in order to lower ourselves, to get in the mud and go after it with them. That's not what it is. It's just the opposite of that. It is love. But this doesn't mean that unconditional love is impossible. It may be for us. Unconditional love may be impossible. Love is impossible. It may be for us to be impossible, but certainly not impossible for the Holy Spirit. He gives the power and guidance to love anyone unconditionally. Now, I can think of some people in my history, in school, growing up, whatever it was, and I would be just ready to go get the rope and let's hang them. I mean, and you probably have been that place too. But that's not what God wants. He wants us to love them unconditionally. And that takes guidance and power from the Holy Spirit. Point two. This is love in action rather than feeling. People can talk all they want to, and oh, I love that person, and it's all talk. But what we're talking about, unconditional love, we're talking about action. There is actually things that we must do. So here's a sub-point A. Most people believe that love is a feeling, an emotion. But that is not what true love is. True love is sacrificing oneself for the one you love. That's action. And that's what love is. You can sit about and pray like a jackass and act like you really love someone, but it's all talk. And when there's a time when there is danger, there are things that you desperately need from the one you love, and when they turn on you, that's hard to take, but that happens all the time. So it's not a feeling. Emotions are part of it, and good emotions are good, and we are for those, but love isn't a feeling. It's an action. Point B. Did you have your hand up, Lon? Okay. It's what? Oh, mosquito. Okay, point B here. It is our nature to argue with other people and to gossip about them, which is carried out in Satan's cosmic system. That's where you do all that kind of junk. But when we are in the divine dynasphere, we have the power to treat others with unconditional love. It doesn't matter what they do, we're still going to love them. And if they say, well, I hate your guts, well, that's fine. Through the Holy Spirit, I can love you. And they might not know what you're talking about, but at least you're telling them some reasons why you have that kind of love for them. Don't have much long. Maybe this might be the last one for tonight. Let's see. Number three. A new decision for each set of circumstances. I've kind of been leading up to this, and this will give us more clarity. Subpoint A says, unconditional love is not used the same way when facing the real world. You don't. In other words, if you use unconditional love to do what you're supposed to do, and it worked, and you think, okay, well, this will be my model, and I'll do this every time. Well, that's not going to work, because every circumstance is different. So unconditional love is not used the same way when facing the real world. Each situation has a different way of addressing the people and different circumstances. So you're going to have different people, different personalities. One might be just a monster. The other might be real sweet, but still would cut you in half with her looks. So, and even the different circumstances. You don't know when this is going to happen. And when it does, it might not just be you and one other person. There might be a lot of people there. You have to be able to bring all this into play so that you are going to use the Holy Spirit's guidance and His power for this to work. And number B here. The situation is usually different every time we employ unconditional love, so we need to be flexible as to how to handle the issue at hand. But there's one thing that we can take to the bank, and that is when we find ourselves in a different situation and we're trying to be flexible as to how to handle this issue, the issue at hand, we are never alone. We are never by ourselves. It doesn't matter what the situation is. The Lord is always right there with us. And the Holy Spirit is there giving us the power, bringing things out of our mind, out of our brain, to be able to say things that will make a difference. Let me see if this is the last one. Well, I've got one more thing here. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm just going to stop right here because this would be a good place to start next time. Okay. Are y'all getting a feel for this? I mean, do you think about it? Do you think when someone comes up and they're angry, they're not angry with you, but they're going to take it out on you, and they start pressing and start making a big mess, and you're not going to fall for it? You can listen to them, and when they say, well, you don't, when they call you a name or when they try to belittle you or anything like that, you completely ignore it. Because you have been commanded by God to treat these kind of people in the same way that God treats us. And God doesn't treat us, He doesn't wipe us away, He doesn't do all these horrible things. What He does is listen and He forgives. And that's what we have to do as well. So, we're completely out of time now. Does anybody have anything, any questions?
I'll ask afterwards.
Well, you can ask now.
Well, it talks about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, it talks about avoid such people as these. Is loving, you can love this person and avoid them if they're treating you.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because impersonal love means you don't really know the people, or if you do know them, you have to be impersonal in order to have impersonal love. I'll give you an example. One time, I was on in Houston on the freeway, and I had my daughter with me, and these guys came by in a car. And I don't know if they were drunk or whatever, but they were shouting, and they came real close to my car, and then they just went right in front of it. I mean, nearly cut me off. And I was so mad. They were giving me the finger and screaming and all that, and I had to apply this unconditional love. They didn't know me, and I didn't know them. I never went. That's why it's impersonal. It doesn't have to be someone you know. But I got so angry for just a moment because my daughter, what if they was went and slammed against my car? Excuse me. There's no telling what they would do. But I can tell you this. As soon as I was so angry, as soon as that anger appeared, nearly as quick it went away, because I thought, I have to love them with unconditional love no matter what it is. God is going to deal with them, but my job is to love them. Does that kind of answer your question, Danny? That you don't have to even know them.
Yes, I'm referring to, he talks about love everyone, it's love. Can you love someone and avoid them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it doesn't mean that you have to stick around, be their friend or anything else. It's just that mentally you're not judging them, and you are to love others. And others can be the greatest people in the world to the worst. And that's how that works. Okay?
So loving doesn't mean you have to like them.
No, you don't have to like that. I'm glad you said that, because I used to tell people this all the time. They would say, well, how do you get to love them? I said, I treat them with unconditional love, and I might just can't stand them. But I'm not going to give the one that is I can't stand them the vote, we'll do it this way. I can't do that, because God has already commanded us to do it this way. And that's the way that you do it. And when you do that, for me, the anger melted away instantly when I thought about, I need to treat these people the way that God treats me. It's not complicated, but it's kind of hard to do. But those are good questions. I'm glad we got those. Okay, let's close. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for all the things that you have figured out and want to give us. It was, even in eternity past, these things were already developed and ready to go. But we pray that you will help us when we get into situations to where we need to use unconditional love, that we won't stagger and try to do it some other way, because the only way to do it is to love them through the power of the Holy Spirit and the guidance and so forth. And of course, Lord Jesus Christ will be with us when we do those things anyway. So we thank you for that. Help us to keep looking and keep learning, so that we'll be able to do this with ease and not have it be troublesome. So we thank you for this. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello.